Bless the Lord. The Lord is so impressed upon me that if we could realize the depth of grace that is in this word, we'd never want to put it down. It's a supernatural word. And God has infused it with power. He's filled this word with power. And anyone could have it. Anyone who belongs to God, who's given their heart to God, who loves God. I was looking for a scripture this morning and my head's a little foggy, but there's a scripture that says, if anyone loves God, the same is known by him. Does anybody know where that is? If anyone loves God, the same is known by him. It annoys me that I can't remember where it is. Anyway, when you get it, let me know. I'm going to do part two on prayer from last week because I believe that prayer is the avenue that God has given us to connect with him, or one of the avenues. And that you cannot separate the Word of God and prayer. The Word and prayer connect us to the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 15, verse 7. Somebody read that for me, please.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Once more, please.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Is that a powerful statement or what? We would call that carte blanche. What does that mean? It means you can have whatever you ask. Now we understand that, or at least I hope we understand, that it must be in line with the Word. It must be in line. But there are so many things in line with the Word that God has blessed us with. But the key is abiding in Him. We have to abide in Him, and His Word has to abide in us. His Word must live inside of our spirit in order to ask or be able to ask the desires of our heart from God and receive them. His Word must be a living Word. Jesus said, the words that I speak are and life. Spirit and life. The Word of God is a living Word. The Word of God is a living Word. And sometimes, without intending to, life has a way of bringing things against us, and it can harden our hearts. We can become disillusioned and even angry with God and turn away from Him and say, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to read to you a scripture from Proverbs 28, verse 9 for reference. That anyone who turns away from hearing the Word of God, even his prayer, is an abomination. That's a powerful statement also. Now the word turns away means to desert, to quit, as in turning away from the Lord because of rebellion in the heart. And hearing, this is most interesting. If anyone turns away from hearing the Word of God, you would think that just means, I don't want to hear anymore. But that's not what it means. It means to listen and then obey. Doesn't that put a different slant on it? If anyone who turns away from listening and obeying the Word of God, even his prayer is an abomination. We don't want that to ever happen to us. And it can easily happen when people get hurt, get disillusioned, become angry, and think, God has not fulfilled his part. But I want to clearly establish today for us that prayer cannot be a last resort, a final step after exhausting every other means. And I'm sure we all know the story. Two men are sitting there, and one turns to the other one over a situation and says, "Brother, should we pray?" And the other one says, "My God, has it come to that?" But we're like that sometimes. We use it as a last resort, but it needs to be the first thing we go to. Prayer is an avenue for us to commune and connect with God. The disciples, their commitment was a daily one, a daily commitment to God, to his word and to prayer. And I'd like someone to read for me, please, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Margaret? Yeah.
"And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved."
Amen. Read 46 again, please.
"So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart."
Continuing daily with one accord. You know, they were people like us. I mean, they had their squabbles and difficulties to deal with. But it is so incredibly important that we guard our hearts. God will not move among us if we can't stand each other. God will not move among us if we criticize each other. God will not move among us if we don't love each other. Now, that doesn't mean we have to agree with everything. You don't have to agree with everything. But don't allow bitterness, resentment, any of those kind of things to come into your heart. Because God wants to do something there. God wants to do something. And prayer, in some ways, is like baking a cake, which I haven't had for a long time, let me tell you. There are ingredients that are necessary for the prayer to bring about the desired results. And some of those ingredients would include the Word of God, of course. Wisdom and understanding would be another ingredient, because if you have the Word and you have no wisdom or understanding, it just becomes a bat to beat people with. Another ingredient is faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. And we want to please God. Amen. Another ingredient is clean hands, and if not a pure heart, a repentant heart. And lastly, humility. A humble heart to approach God in prayer with humility. The early church was a praying church, and God is still able to work on behalf of consecrated praying people. He wants to work. And I'll tell you that if prayer and walking with God are not important to us, I guarantee they will not be important to the next generation. They do what they see us doing. Let's turn to Romans 15. I have a really kind of remarkable scripture. It's hard to imagine the Apostle Paul begging, but he did. In Romans chapter 15, Verse 30. 15, verse 30. He says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." What's he saying? Paul knew that without prayer support, regardless of how anointed he might be, he wouldn't get the job done. We need prayer. We need prayer. There is an enemy that is against us. He's against your children. He puts thoughts into our minds that are unkind and evil and full of despair. And we need the prayers of one another to be able to overcome, because nobody is an island by themselves in God. No one. And Paul knew that without the prayer support, without this, he wouldn't be able to fulfill his ministry. But it's kind of remarkable to see him say, "I beg you, brethren." Not, "It would be nice if you could," but "I beg you." That's the seriousness of prayer and how necessary it is. How necessary it is. Peter, let's actually turn to Acts chapter 12. Peter would have died the next day if the church had not entered into prayer on his behalf. In Acts chapter 12, verses 5, we see the story of King Herod. He put James in jail and beheaded him, saw that pleased everybody. So then he decided, "Well, I'll do it again." He put Peter in jail, planning to do the same thing to Peter. But something happened with Peter that didn't happen with James. And I want us to get this, because this is the difference of what happens when you pray and don't pray. Did God love Peter more? No, I don't think so. Was James a bad person? I don't think so. The only reason James died is the church didn't pray for him like they did for Peter. Church did not pray and he died. So when we don't pray, God can't move. Let's read it. Verse 5. Volunteer, Faithy. 12:5.
So Peter was kept in prison, but those in the church were earnestly praying to God for him.
Yes. Actually, the word earnest is constant. Constant. Constant prayer. Constant prayer. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The word constant, interestingly, means earnest. That's true. But it also means without ceasing. Without ceasing. They didn't pray, "Lord, please do something for Peter. Amen. Next." And we do that sometimes. We're all guilty of that sometimes. I want us to learn, I don't know if you're familiar with this expression, but to pray through. Does that mean anything to you? We learn to pray through. In other words, you pray until it's done. Either the results are in, or you have the witness in your spirit that it's done. And the example that comes to mind for me is, for us here, was when Christine was in the church, and the first week we were praying earnestly for her, that she would not have cancer. And the doctors were saying, "Yes, we believe she does." And, the enemy put her in a bed beside someone who was a woman a little younger who was dying of cancer, and made sure the doctor came in and told her she was dying in front of Christine, and everybody was crying. And he does everything he can to discourage. But the first week, we prayed. We prayed, we prayed, we prayed. Now, if you remember the second week, he said, "Don't pray anymore. It's done. It's done." Now, we didn't have any results, There were no results. The doctor was still trying to tell me that she had cancer. But the Spirit of the Lord revealed to me, it's done. You don't have to pray for her anymore. So we didn't. And obviously, she pulled through. She's still here today. But that's the kind of thing that we need to have when we're praying. We pray until we have the witness or the results. And God will give us one or the other. See, their prayers, the church's prayer, moved the hand of God. It moved the hand of God. See, God didn't send an angel for James, but he sent one for Peter. And Peter was delivered from the prison. Boy, let that sink in. See, prayer is the mechanism that God has given his children to make their request known. One of the most important things in prayer that you and I can get is to pray to see things from God's perspective, to see the situation from God's perspective. Not from the natural, not from what we see with our normal eyes, but we pray to see the situation from God's point of view. That God would open our eyes, and I'll show you more about that in a few minutes, but 2 Kings, I'm going to give you an example of this. 2 Kings, chapter 6. Verses 14 to 17. Carmen, if you'd like to read that, please. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17.
So the Syrian king sent their horses chariots and great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of a man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha answered, "Fear not, for both of us and more than all good things." Then Elisha prayed more, and prayed and opened his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around the young Elisha.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Carmen. So we see that in this circumstance, it looks really bad. The king of Syria has surrounded the city, and he intends to destroy them. He intends to take over the city and destroy the people. He's making war against them. And Elisha's servant panics. He panics because he's only looking at this from the natural. And in the natural, there's good reason to panic. We face situations that in the natural are overwhelming. But we desperately need God's perspective to be able to rise above the circumstances. We need his perspective. So we pray to see things from God's perspective, not just natural circumstances. And that's what we have here, where he says to his servant, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Who's with us? Who's with us? God. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. And so the mountain, it was filled with the angels of God. Waiting. What are they waiting for? For the word. They're waiting for the word. They're waiting for the word. How do you know that? Well, because the Bible tells us that. I believe it's yes, Psalm 103, verse 20. I'm just going to read it to you. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word," heeding the voice of his word. Heeding the voice of his word. See, that means you and I, as children of God, belonging to Christ, have the authority to speak the word. And as we do that, the angels heed the voice of the word. Not our opinions, not just our desires, but the word of God. That's why we need to speak the word. And just like Elisha's servant here, we need God to open our eyes. We need God to open our eyes. You and I don't see everything. There are a lot of things we miss. But God doesn't miss a thing. God is never in a panic. He is never in fear or despair. And at times it can seem like our prayers are falling on deaf ears. We wonder if God is even hearing us. Those are times to remember the bamboo plant. Let me read this to you. Here, I took it right off the internet. The way bamboo grows is one of the most bizarre, fascinating, and untypical occurrences for plants and for nature in general. At first, for 5 years, after you have sown the seed, you see nothing other than a tiny shoot poking its head up from the ground. All the actual growth is happening underground, where an incredibly complex root system is established and interwoven outward and upward across vast amounts of land. Then towards the end of the fifth year, the bamboo shoots up and grows 30 meters tall. The plant is in fact the fastest growing plant on earth and can grow 1 meter in 24 hours. Isn't that amazing? For 5 years, now that's so true of how the word is, not that it takes 5 years, but the word of God, before it expresses itself outwardly, it has to work here. It has to work here. So it's setting its root system into my spirit, so that my spirit is grasping. The word is coming alive in my spirit, not in my mind, but in my spirit. And as it does that, it explodes. That's why it can seem like nothing's happening. But if we will be faithful to God and His Word, speaking His Word in faith, the answer will come. The answer will come. Now, this is a really important prayer that I'm going to close with here. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Because I believe this, if we will pray this every day, I think God will do miracles in us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. Who'd like to read that?
After God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places.
Once more.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places.
Amen. Now I hope you have a pen and pencil here, or paper, as I'm going to define the words for you. So we're praying, first of all, for the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means skill. That we're praying for skill in the affairs of life. That's what it means. It means a deep knowledge and an enlightened understanding. Knowledge of hidden things, things that I will never know without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read this again. It's skill in the affairs of life. It means a deep knowledge and an enlightened understanding. Knowledge of hidden things that I'll never know without the help of the Holy Spirit. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation is interpreting and unveiling the hidden wisdom of God. I'll read that again. Interpreting and unveiling the hidden wisdom of God. Illuminating and communication of God's knowledge. The illumination and communication of God's knowledge. See, God knows more than you and I do. And so if we will connect with Him and we will pray and ask Him for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, He'll give it to us. Because He said it right here. Pray for it. He wants you and I to pray. He's not holding it back. He wants you and I to pray for it. Bless God. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now the word knowledge, that's way more than just acquiring knowledge about God. This is a knowledge that directly and powerfully impacts the daily spiritual life of the learner. It's learning to live out your life in the knowledge of God. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding, or I think some of them say the eyes of your heart, depending on your translation. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That means to open wide your ability to understand and grasp what you're reading. It means to open wide your understanding and your ability to grasp the hidden truths of God. How do you know they're hidden? How do we know? Well, we know because God says so. Where does He say this? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. Well, let's read 6 too. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Now, if it was left like that, hidden wisdom, that means we won't get it. But if you read through the rest of that chapter, you'll see that God wants to impart that hidden wisdom to you and I. And the way He does it is through the Holy Spirit interpreting and communicating the hidden wisdom of God to your spirit. That's what God will do for you. That's how the Word becomes living within us. Living within us. So the eyes of our understanding means to cause to see what I didn't see before. The eyes of your understanding is the power of perceiving and understanding so that my inner being, my spirit, would be enlightened. Because God communicates to your spirit, not to your mind, but to your spirit. And He will bring alive. Now that's just the first part of this prayer. And the second part of this prayer is remarkable because He says, where are we here? That you may know. So, the reason we're praying these things is because God wants us to know something. He wants us to know. So we're doing all these things. We're praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, so that there's a purpose in that, that I may know the hope. Now, the word hope, full extent. It means the full extent. The full extent of his calling. Now, of his calling is a little bit unclear in the sense of what is exactly does it mean. But it means the possibilities in and through Christ. Doesn't that make it much easier to grasp? The full extent, we're praying these prayers for revelation and knowledge so that we'll be able to know, to grasp and understand the full extent of the possibilities made available to us in and through Christ. Boy, that's good. Then it goes on to say, and what are the riches, wealth and abundance, of the glory means true and unchanging, of his inheritance in the saints. So God wants us to gain all these understanding and revelation so that when we read the word, it will become living within us and we will begin to grasp. So that when we read things like, for I am the Lord who heals you, that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. They're not just words. But they are living words inside of your spirit. We will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is set on you. Not just words. Not just words. We need the word to be living inside of us. We need that. We need it. Every one of us needs to have the word living inside of us. And God wants us to grasp in our spirit. What verse is that? That's 19. The exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. God wants you and I to grasp in our spirit the exceeding greatness of his power if you will dare to believe the word of God. If you will dare to believe. God has remarkable blessings made available to us. Just remarkable. Remarkable. But there is a challenge that comes with it. There's a challenge. And that challenge is usually, to some degree, associated with our pride. What if it fails? What if it doesn't work for me? How can I tell people I'm believing God for something if it doesn't come to pass? Where will I be? I'll look foolish. See, if you don't get past that, you're never going to enter into faith. Faith means that I stand with God. I stand with God and I speak the word only. I speak the word. I release the power of the word over the circumstance. I release the power of the word. God's word is remarkable. It's remarkable. It's filled with faith. It's filled with it. And God says if you and I will meditate in that word, if we'll let that word rise in our spirit, then when we pray, miracles will happen. Miracles will happen. Miracles are just God working. You know? Just God working. They are God working. And he'll do it for anyone. God does not have special favorites. Anyone find that scripture, by the way, if anyone loves God? Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 8:2. Thank you. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, and yet he ought to know. Oh, verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. See, if you love God, now I don't mean love his benefits and blessings and so forth. I mean God. And my love for God is no greater than the amount of time I want to spend with him. You know what I'm saying? I can't say to him, you know, I love you, Lord, on Sunday morning between 10 and 11:30. Anything beyond that, we'll see. The Bible says if you love God, he knows it. He knows it. He knows who you are. So that when you speak the word, when you release the power of your prayers, when you have been incubating a portion of scripture that applies to the circumstance you're in, and I talked last week about how to pray for lost people, it's not going to work if you just simply recite those verses. Not going to work. You've got to soak in them. They have to become meaningful and real to you. So you can pray this over that. You pray this prayer. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of this scripture. And as you do that, it takes time. It's an investment. It's an investment. That if you want to see results, you've got to invest.
Amen.
You've got to invest. But God will do it. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. And He loves you. So He's already disposed to show favor. We don't have to talk Him into it. He's already disposed. But you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to believe. And if you can't believe right now, there's an answer for that. Soak in the Word. Soak in the Word. Soak in it. The Word is whatever portion of Scripture you need right now. If that Word is not living faith within your spirit, just keep soaking in it. Pray over it. Say, I believe this to be true, Lord. I believe this is true. I believe Your Word is true. Your Word is coming alive in my spirit. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of this Scripture. And then wait on God. Let Him speak to you. God knows what the Scripture means. He wrote it. And He'll tell you. He'll tell you. And I'll just give you this last Scripture so you know that I'm... How he will do this. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right. Start in verse 9. Now, I already talked about the hidden wisdom, right? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the mind of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. So if we stop there, we'd think, well, we're just out of luck. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. God has revealed them to us. He's revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I want to go down to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might... know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, spirit to spirit. You see how God talks to you? He will deposit into your spirit that revelation. He'll do it. But you see, it's an investment. It's an investment. This is not something, you know, we're not doing a drive-by here. It takes investment. God is a real person. And He wants you and I to invest ourselves in Him. And not just go to Him. Children do that. Does that make sense? There's so much available to us. God, help us to grasp that. Lord, help us this morning. Help us, O Lord, to understand the way Your Holy Spirit works in us. Help us, O Lord, that the Word of God will become living inside of us. Let that Word rise up in faith, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we need You desperately. Desperately. And our hope and desire is to go to heaven. I have written this on the front of my Bible. I'm going to read it to you again, probably every week. We are not to come just to the Word of God. Rather, we are to go through that Word to the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. What does that mean? It means that it's not enough to just read the Word. I need to know the person of the Word. I need to know God. Not just His Word, but I need to know Him.
Amen.
I need to know God. I need to know that He is so dependable that when I read something He wrote, it's truth. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. I hope that helped. If you need